Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
The NFL Draft is officially this month.
Uh-oh.
We've waited, we've talked, we've analyzed, we've mocked, we've reacted, we've forecasted, but here we are as we turn the page into the month of April. It is the month of the draft, and it's a tipping point for the Denver Broncos. And the question that I have is, what do we think we know about this draft coming up in about 3 weeks from now? And when I say tipping point, I went and looked up the definition. The critical point in a situation or process which a significant and often unstoppable effect or change takes place. And I think that we're at it in an intersection of time. It's like if the Broncos swing at a quarterback, it's a tipping point, because if you get it right, Phil, it could change this franchise. And if you get it wrong, it's hard to believe, but it could actually set back the franchise when the point you're getting set back from is already the worst place they've ever been, big picture, over these last 7-8 years.
Oh, Zach, it's hard to believe that you could get set back more than we are right now. It really, truly is. But it can happen. It can happen if you make the wrong moves.
Yeah.
That's why they have to get this draft right. This right here is going to be the start. This has to be the foundation. This is where it's built off of. These kids coming out this draft. Because I want to see these kids here for 4, 5 years, 6 years, not 2 years and they're out of here.
Right. If you draft a quarterback, that kid gets 2 years?
If you draft a quarterback in the first round, that kid's going to get at least three. At least three.
At least three in the year 2024?
You want to know why? Because Sean hates being wrong. Sean's going to do everything he can to make sure that quarterback succeeds. And if it means having to wait 3 years for him to finally have a good season, then that's going to be the case. Unless they just so happen to fall back in the first round, second or first pick of the NFL draft, and maybe they go and get another quarterback.
Sure. And we've seen that rarely, but we've seen it. The Cardinals did it. They drafted Josh Rosen and they were like, oh my God. They ended up with the number one overall pick. They take Kyler Murray.
Yeah. So it could happen. But Sean being Sean, and how prideful Sean is, and how all those statements he's said where, you know, where we're good at doing these things and some teams aren't.
Yeah.
He's going to ride this to the end.
Oh, man. See, and the thing is, what's tricky about this question of what kind of leeway does a young quarterback have? Mm. Typically, it's not going to be, you would think, like, all bad or all good. It's probably going to be somewhere in between.
Yeah.
And you may end up being right about your assertion that, like, no, it's 3 years, because it's the guy who's picking him is the guy who's coaching him. And that means he believes in him. He's got to love him to pick him in the first round. And sometimes with love, you see some things that you want to see and maybe turn a blind eye to some things that some warts from either a personality standpoint, or you don't like that she does this or that, and you're like, I'm not going to pick that battle right now, or I'm going to choose not to even look at the direction where the battle's taking place.
And you got to remember this, all right? A lot of times a quarterback or a running back or receiver or any player that is drafted kind of gets lost in the shuffle if coaches get fired or if general managers get fired. In this case, Sean's not going anywhere.
Right.
Oh, and Sean's the general manager.
Pretty much.
So there's not going to be a change there until Sean's contract is up. I think they're going to ride this out. I think they truly are going to ride this contract out, see what Sean has up his sleeve. And so that quarterback that he brings in is going to be there with Sean.
Yeah, I mostly agree, unless this thing goes from bad to worse. And Greg Penner starts looking around and saying, did we hire the right guy? Do we hire the right guy? I agree with you, big picture, that, yeah, Sean Payton's going to be here for the duration of his contract, and hopefully it's not even debatable, because things are turning around, and it's like, hey, let's extend this guy in 2-3 years. That's the hope, but we shall see. We shall see. In terms of what we think we know about this draft, what do you think you know for sure about this upcoming draft for the Denver Broncos?
I know that we're going to draft a quarterback.
You know that?
For sure. 100% no. There is no doubt about it. All right, there is no quarterbacks out there. Jeff Driscoll just got picked up. So we have no more quarterbacks that we can go out and get.
Where did he go?
I think he went to the Commanders.
Okay. Okay. God almighty.
Now, if they want to bring me back to be quarterback, let's get it. Let's ride. No, but they're going to for sure pick up a quarterback.
The and you're talking about, are you talking about in the first round?
First round. First round.
You know that.
If they pick in the first round, Zach, it's going to be a quarterback. The only thing I can see that they might do is if there's a quarterback that they know nobody's going after, right? It's not JJ McCarthy. They could trade down, still find a way to get back in the first round, or get a lower first round, and then like trade. So you're at the 12.
Yep.
Trade to like whatever 20-something, 23rd.
Sure.
Pick up your quarterback. Hopefully they giving you something else. And retarded. If you're trading back,
you're getting let's call it a second round pick.
Yeah, and then go back and get who you want. So they may be able to get a couple really solid starters if they trade down. But no matter what, as long as they're picking in the first round, it's going to be a quarterback. Hike, 29 Rizzle.
You are probably right. Mike, the only thing that would, I think, in my head that is stopping me from fully co-signing.
Don't do it.
Is if they're just like, you want to know what? We think we like 2 to 3 of these guys. We think we could love them.
Okay.
But we are not in a position as a franchise to move all the way up into the top 4. And at number 12, we also don't feel comfortable enough picking a quarterback with the 12th overall pick. And don't forget, to move back, you need a trade partner who thinks they need to get up to 12. And typically, if you're moving up from 23 to 12 in your example, it's for a quarterback.
Yeah.
So maybe there is another team that's like, you want to know what? We're going to plan for our future because we are the, fill in the blank. We're the Steelers.
Mm.
We got Russ, we got Justin Fields, but we actually love Bo Nix too. Or we actually love Michael Penix Jr. too. And, are the Steelers meeting with Michael Penix Jr.? No, they were meeting
with...
Yes, they are.
The Giants. The Giants are...
Yes. And that came on the radar on Friday. It was like, oh, the Steelers. But they're not paying anything for Fields and Russ. And what if they're like, you want to know what? We're going to build our QB room. And one of these three guys is going to be a franchise quarterback. We'll let them figure it out. We'll move up. That could certainly happen.
Steelers have it good right now, man.
Yes, they do.
They have some trade bait. Okay. Especially how everything went down this year with the quarterback position, somebody would take Russ or Justin Fields, and they would have to give up a hefty draft pick, at least a third round.
Oh, if they wanted to trade one of those guys?
Trade one, during the season, before the season starts. Yeah. They're in a good situation, man, and they're cheap.
I saw a video of Najee Harris, too, by the way. It looks like he's lost like 15 pounds.
He slimmed down, man. It's a good thing. I mean, the years we've seen Najee, he's been heavy. Now, let's see what he looks like when he's a little healthier, when he's skinnier, when he's faster. I'm wanting to see what's going to go down with that.
Isn't he in a contract year?
It is. It always happens. Like, all the other years don't matter. But that contract year, you better be in the best shape of your life.
Yes.
You better have the mental game right.
Yes.
It's like, what are we doing, man?
Right.
If you ball out the first 3 years and don't do good that contract year, you're not getting any money.
Right. Isn't that crazy how it works?
It's crazy.
And someone will pay him. I mean, and he's been a good running back. I don't want to misrepresent him. He's been solid. I saw Saquon Barkley was praising him. And it's going to be a good setup there for whoever wins that job, probably Russ.
Yeah.
Assuming that they have a competition, not just anoint. I don't know, Phil. I don't know. I was thinking about this over the weekend and just like, okay, now it's a month of draft. What do I think I know for sure? And yeah, I think it's more likely than not that they pick a quarterback in the first round. But I think there's a scenario where circumstance prevents that from happening. Circumstance. Not that they don't love a guy, but it's just like the options that we love aren't really available to us. And if we do want to make it them available, we have to do something that makes us really, really uncomfortable as a franchise, and that's trade 3 first-round picks and move all the way up. If that, if they are a little bit split on that, and I say split, really only it's one guy's vote,
yeah.
But maybe Sean is conflicted on it. I could see a scenario where it's like, you want to know what? I'm going to be here for the next 4 years. I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket.
Mm.
Because there's been a run on quarterbacks, we're going to pick like the 7th best football player in the draft, and it's going to be Brock Bowers or fill in the blank. We're going to rock with my guy Stidham. We're going to sign Ryan Tannehill, and we'll draft Spencer Rattler in the 3rd round or draft a Pratt in the, third, whatever. And it's like, I just, when I really started thinking through it, the things that I think I know for sure about this coming draft, I don't think quarterback in the 1st round is something I know for sure.
You never know, Zach. You never know what's going on in people's head. Maybe they're bullish on having JJ McCarthy. He gets picked up, and now it's like our plan B was not to get another quarterback. It's to go for somebody else because we're confident in what we have in Stidham. That's the only thing I can think of is Sean is so confident that Stidham could be the guy that he's willing not to draft a quarterback in the 1st round. Now, we just got rid of a quarterback because you're saying that you're looking for that guy that gives you the spark. You're looking for the guy that's your guy. You gave up Russell Wilson and $85 million that went with him. You better draft a quarterback. I don't care what you have to do. All right? You said you're the guru. You went on the stage and said, you have the audio again? I like when you put it up.
Yeah, here it is.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree, we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
Okay, so you say that. You don't have to move up then, because you're telling me that you know who you have, and it may not be what everybody else has because you guys are better at evaluating talent. So if it's that 12th pick and you decide to stay there or trade down, whatever the case may be, it better be a quarterback.
What if, and I heard Mike say this morning, like this is what he hopes the Broncos will do, and he's referencing that quote. And he's like, if you're the guru, then draft someone in the 3rd round and show us how good you are. Draft the best football player at 12. Draft someone in the 3rd round and show us your guru ways with Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt or fill in the blank. And I'm just like, that does not feel. And I know that's not what you're saying. I'm paraphrasing what Mike said this morning. It doesn't feel like a solid plan.
No, it's just not
does
a solid.
Not, it just does not feel like a solid plan. And I know the way he laid it out, talking about Mike Evans, it made it in some ways make sense. But I'm just like, this is the Denver Broncos. We're betting on the moxie and arrogance of Sean Payton to pick someone with the 150th overall pick, and that's going to be the franchise quarterback. I'm not saying it hasn't happened before because I know it has.
Yeah.
Joe Montana was a 3rd round pick.
Yeah.
Brady and this and that. I got it. Cousins, I got it. But Phil, doesn't feel like we're building that house on a good foundation there.
Well, you know what? If Sean goes off and does that, then I'm going to have even more confidence in him because I'm like, okay.
Oh, statue time.
Okay.
Oh, statue
this
time.
This man's getting ready to have a Brock party on the team.
Yes.
That's what he's telling us. If he doesn't draft a quarterback in the 1st round, but drafts one in the 3rd, 4th, whatever rounds they have, that's telling me a lot. But if you have an opportunity to go get a quarterback that you love or you think can help us win and be the franchise quarterback, Michael Penix Jr.
Oh.
Michael Penix Jr.
Oh.
You can get him.
Oh.
You can get him. You could probably trade down. All right. Get some other weapons and still get Michael Penix Jr.
See, but Phil.
Okay.
Philip. I don't like this. If you think Michael Penix Jr. is a franchise quarterback, don't play with the draft.
Okay.
Take him at 12. Because how disheartening would that be? It's like, hey, this guy can be a franchise quarterback, but let's get greedy. Let's trade back. Let's get a tackler tight end, and we'll get him anyway. And if someone else picks that guy in front of you, like he's still haunted by Mahomes and not moving up.
Yeah.
And I would just, if you think Michael Penix,
I like where your head is at,
if you think Michael Penix is that dude, and that now there's rumors of like, hey, could Seattle move up and draft Michael Penix Jr.? He's built some little momentum for himself. And I think it has to do with the clean combine, you know, testing from the medical standpoint. And then it's like, not only do my legs work, Because I heard, it was Cecil. He's like, he's got two bum knees. And that's why I think last week was actually important for Michael Penix Jr.
People were talking dirty on my boy Michael Penix Jr. People want what they want, and I always say that, and they're going to always make a narrative that fits their needs. And if that means they don't want Michael Penix Jr., they're going to make up excuses why they don't want Michael Penix Jr.
Phil, you know the medicals bother me a little bit.
Yeah, we know.
But when I watch the guy run a 4.5, you know, he's answering some questions. And yeah. I know that's not what he's going to do on game day. I know that. And we were talking about the fellas in the morning making fun of, like, oh, okay, ran fast. Like, he's not going to do that.
Bert.
Yeah, and when's he going to have to jump 37? I don't know. I think he did answer some questions from a physicality standpoint. He looks like a really good athlete.
Why do we do the test? Why do we do the test? We do the test because it helps us out athletically, because they want the most athletic person being a running back, a quarterback, a receiver. That's why you do these stupid tests. I don't think that these tests show exactly what you are going to be on that field, because it's about heart, it's about toughness, it's about what you bring on the field, statistically.
Yeah.
All right? I was going to start a rap right there.
Whoa.
And not how you look. But it does answer questions. All right? Michael Penix Jr., has been held to injuries, right? And everybody's saying he's injury prone,
yep,
and his knees don't work. He goes out there and runs, and people are still going to say it.
Well, I think for Michael Penix Jr., it mattered just a little bit more than other people.
I agree.
Last week, because of the questions that someone like me has about him physically. Are you durable? Can you hold up? Where are you at now after two ACLs
Where
and two shoulders?
Where are you at now, Zach?
I'm thawing out. Because I want a first-round quarterback.
Okay.
And the guy that I want, I don't think the Broncos are going to be able to get. And that's J.J. McCarthy.
What's funny is you sat here at the beginning of all this and you said Michael Penix Jr. was a first-round quarterback.
Yes. Yep.
So why do you not want him?
It's the same thing. I'm just bothered by the past.
Well, there you go.
I'm bothered by the past. I am.
No, that's you're not the only one. You're trying to fit this narrative.
It's not a narrative. It's an actual medical history.
Everybody has. I guarantee you, J.J. McCarthy has a medical history.
I'm sure he does.
That people don't know about.
Is it two ACLs that have been tucked under the rug?
You don't know. You get in the MRI machine, you start having all kind of
it's like,
meniscus.
He's got two ACLs, but we'll keep it a secret. He's got a clean MRI. No.
Oh,
Michael Penix Jr.'s history is real, but you asked me the question.
Yeah. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
I'm like a big block of ice at the table. It's a little bit smaller than it was two, three weeks ago.
You're so greedy, man.
It's melting a little bit.
So you're just sitting there letting it marinate, like watching to see what comes about, and then jump on the train. Oh no, no, no.
Oh,
oh no, no, no. No, 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 no. How dare you? You're just sitting there at the dinner table waiting for it to thaw out. Just say, okay, I like it.
So I need to make a decision right now about Michael Penix Jr.
I'm going to give you a week. I'm putting ransom on this. You got a week.
I'm either in or out. I got to make my mind up by Friday.
When Michael Penix Jr. gets drafted by the Denver Broncos.
Hey, dude, if they draft him, come on.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the opinions are. If they draft him at number 12, Broncos country should collectively be on board.
We have no choice. Whoever it is.
But where this conversation started of like, what do you know for sure?
Yeah.
And when it comes to drafting a quarterback, I'm like, if we get through the first round and the Broncos don't draft a quarterback, I'm sure I'll talk myself into being optimistic. Because given the choice and you wake up in the morning, I'd rather be positive than negative. Believe it or not, when we talk about the Broncos, I know some people, oh, you're a hater. No. I just want the Broncos to be good. That's all.
All we are is watching these games and giving feedback that they're, you know, the listeners and the fans, everybody else is watching.
Yes. And so no matter whose guy everyone is right now, you love Michael Penix Jr., I love J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
If they draft Bo Nix, it's time to get on the Bo Nix train and just be supportive until we're shown a reason.
For sure.
Not to. Because these things, we can't get locked into our, like, oh, I know best. And my guy, dude, my favorite football player, I think Josh Allen is the best football player or among the top five in the NFL. I think he's one of the five best football players.
We know, Zach. We know you love old Joshy.
I did not love him coming out of Wyoming. No. And by the way, this like retroactive history, like this repackaging, I was on the air here. There was no one on this station that's either still here or not here that was banging the table saying that Josh Allen was going to be the franchise quarterback. Yeah. That's a fact, okay? That's a fact. But now you respond and react to reality.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, that guy's that dude. I think he would succeed anywhere. So regardless who it ends up being, you have to hope. There is an element of hope involved from a fan and for the guy who's making the freaking pick.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of luck, a little bit of hope involved.
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to get you a shirt that says, I'm sorry, MPJ.
No.
And when we finally get the opportunity to interview my boy Michael Penix Jr., you're going to be wearing that shirt. And you're going to have to explain to that man why you're wearing that shirt.
Look, the draft process, the market is telling Michael Penix why he's going to get drafted where he's drafted. Because if he didn't have the medicals, where would he go?
Mm.
Where would he go? Serious question. Without the two ACLs, and I know you think that's just willy-nilly. Oh, that just, people wake up and tear their ACL. Okay.
But hey, dude.
without that, seriously, without the shoulders and without the knees, where would Michael Penix Jr. go? And I wonder if it'd be in the top four and he's bumping someone else out.
Yeah, and you could say the same with J.J. McCarthy. The reason why he's probably up there so high is because his injuries aren't that bad, right? You know, they're seeing something that a lot of us aren't seeing. So this is the beauty of the NFL draft is you just don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know. What's the I'm going to toss four options at you.
Okay.
Real quick. What do you think is the most likely scenario today on April 1st, the month of the draft? Four.
Or April Fool's Day, huh?
It could be April Fool's Day if you pick the wrong quarterback. Here's the four options. You tell me what's most likely today for you. And you reserve the right to change your mind. Option one, trade three first-round picks and trade up in the top four and grab one of the big four. Option two, trade two first-round picks and Pat Surtain to move up to the top four and grab one of the top four. Option three, stay at number 12 and draft Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. And option number four, draft a top positional player at number 12 and rock with either Stidham or a later round quarterback. What do you think is the most likely option among those four options?
Yeah. And we can only pick one, right?
Can only pick one.
I want to know what our listeners think. I'm going to go with option three.
Option three.
I'm not giving up the house, all right? I'm not putting my kids on the street because I decided to put everything on one person, right? I'm not giving three first-round picks up, and I'm not giving Pat Surtain up. All right, I'm just not doing that. So option three is what I'm going with. It's a safer option, and if you're a guru like Sean Payton is, or what people think Sean Payton is.
Or Sean Payton tells you.
Or Sean Payton tells us, then you're going to take the number 12th pick of the draft, you're going to pick that quarterback, and you're going to make him into someone like Drew Brees. Option three.
I want to throw it out to our listeners and see what they think on the RamosLaw.com text line. What is the most likely scenario as we sit here on April 1st? Here are your four options. Trade three first-round picks. And when I say three first-round picks, I'm talking about your 12th pick this year and then two additional ones.
Yeah.
Trade three first-round picks to trade up into the top four and grab one of the big four. Trade two first-round picks and Pat Surtain to move up into the top four and grab one of the big four. And that, of course, preserves a first-round pick in 2 years. And you're not going to pay Pat Surtain a $100 million contract. Option number three, stay at 12 and draft a quarterback, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Or option four, just draft the best positional player at 12 and rock with either Stidham, a later round quarterback, a free agent quarterback like Ryan Tannehill. Let us know what you think is the most likely scenario for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, hold up, J.J. McCarthy. You're not going to get out of this. What option are you picking?
I'll tell you coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One.
Okay, so you pressed me at the end of last segment with the same question that I tossed at you. And I threw it out to the listeners on the RamosLaw.com text line. We'll read a couple text messages here in a few minutes. But I said, what is the most likely scenario later this month? Now that the draft is here, it's April 1st, okay? What is the most likely scenario? Option number one, trade three first-round picks to move up into the top four and grab one of the big four. Trade two first-round picks and Pat Surtain to move up to number four and grab one of the top four. Draft Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. at number 12. Not do anything, but still address, or not move up, but still address the quarterback position. Or option number four, it's draft the best player available, top positional player at number 12, and either rock with Stidham, maybe it's Spencer Rattler in the mid round, maybe it's Ryan Tannehill after, you know, all this is done and you're like, yeah, oh, you're still out there, boom, come here. Right now, I believe the most likely scenario, and I reserve the right to change my mind, okay? But today,
yeah,
on April 1st, I believe the most likely scenario is to trade two first-round picks along with Pat Surtain to move up and grab one of the big four quarterbacks. And I say that for a couple different reasons. One, you're not out of the first round for years to come.
Yeah.
If you do that, they get your 12th pick this year, your pick next year, and then you're back into the first round. And the Broncos have a decision to make on Pat Surtain. He's going to have a market-setting deal for him, whether it's during the season, after this year, whatever. And Pat Surtain has been around these parts for 3 years. And he's played with Sean Payton this past year for one.
Yeah.
I thought this past year might have been his worst year. And I say worst year in quotes because he's a great player.
Yeah.
But I think it was the more underwhelming of the 3 years. What do you think Sean Payton cares more about? The 2 years before he got here or the 1 year he played for him? And has to decide, am I going to give him a market-setting deal at the cornerback position? I think for those reasons, I think today, answering the question, I think Sean Payton would like to be back in the first round in 2 years and avoid paying a record-setting cornerback contract. So I think my answer today is to trade the 12th pick, next year's first-round pick, along with Pat Surtain to move up into the top four and try to grab either J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Or maybe it's Jaden Daniels. I don't know. I don't know what's in Sean's head and his heart. But I think if I were to guess, and I'm totally guessing here.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, we're doing sports talk radio for something that's going to happen in 3 weeks and we're not involved in those meetings. But I think that one sticks out as a Sean move.
Oh, Zach, this is telling me two things. You don't like Pat Surtain. You got a vendetta. Okay?
Oh, no.
And number two, what if this is the case where we're not good this year? We trade our first round pick. That first round pick ends up being like the number one or number two pick in the draft. You just traded it to somebody.
Correct.
That's a bad risk.
You know what it is?
You get rid
of the Panthers.
Yeah. I'm not willing to do that, man. I am not willing because we don't know what we're going to be like this year. We're not going to, like,
do you think
right
capable?
Now how our roster is, it does not look like we're winning 10 games.
But do you think they're capable of being the worst team? I agree with you. I don't think, from what I see right now, I don't think they're capable of winning 10 games.
No.
But they're also, I don't think, capable of being the worst team in the sport either.
I mean, have you really heard any big names come out this free agency or any names at all? Maybe a guard that we just picked up today that has only played in 27 games.
That is not a big
27
name.
Start. That's all we have.
No.
Trotman got $3 million guaranteed.
Yeah, Trotman.
Reynolds.
So do you think the Broncos could be in contention of the worst pick or the worst team?
Do I think that the Denver Broncos are going to be number one or two? No. Do I think they're going to be like five or six?
What? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're into, see.
Five or
okay,
six,
this
yes.
This is hijacking the segment, but this is fine. This is fine. What do you think is more likely to happen? I'm going to give you two things that are unlikely.
Okay.
But we're going to pick as a team. What is more likely to happen between two unlikely things? The Broncos win 10 games this year, or the Broncos have the number one pick in the draft? What's more likely, that the Broncos win 10 games and are back in the playoffs? Or is it more likely that the Broncos truly bottom out and are picking number one in the draft?
The Colorado Rockies have a better chance of going 500. Than the Denver Broncos winning 10 games this year.
Oof. Okay. So the more likely option is picking number one.
Picking number one. They just, right now, they're rebuilding. They're rebuilding. Unless they just bring in the young men that they're bringing along are just dominant figures, and they're young, they're babies, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
We're not going to win 10 games. Now, maybe 7, 8, I could see.
Sure.
Not 10.
Yeah. Drew, behind the glass. What's more likely? Again, we're just stumbling into this question. What's more likely between two unlikely scenarios? The Broncos win 10 games in Sean Payton's second year, or the Broncos bottom out and are picking number one overall?
So this year, they were a bad football team for the most part. They still won 8 games.
Mm.
I think it's much more likely, even though I don't see any scenarios happens, but to play the exercise – I think it's much more likely they win 10 games than bottom out and end up with the first pick in the draft.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that. They were bad. They won 8.
Yeah.
They with still, a quarterback you didn't think you could win with, exactly. And you still won 8.
Yeah.
True.
But come on now. You still got to have depth. This is football we're talking about.
Sure.
If you don't have depth, you're not winning these games because by week 5, majority of them are going to be hurt. That's just
that
the
didn't
facts.
Happen this last year. They were like the healthiest team ever.
That is true. That is true, Zach. I can't argue with you on that.
KJ, what's more likely between two unlikely scenarios? The Broncos win 10 football games for the first time since 2015, or the Broncos are picking number one in the NFL draft?
Believe it or not, I think it's the Broncos winning 10 games. Sean Payton has this magical figure out of his way that he swears can't run his offense. So now he's got a guy who's going to be able to run his offense, whether it's a rookie or a vet, and he's going to go all in on making sure that this team is maximized without hurting itself for its long-term future. So we talk about Sean Payton having the biggest ego in Denver.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get a chance to flex that muscle. So that's more likely than him sacrificing everything that he is working to build for one player.
Well, I think that for the Broncos to be the worst team in football, with a coach like Sean Payton, I think they'd actually have to try.
Mm.
I think they'd have to try.
Yeah.
And we're not used to seeing that. We're not used to seeing that. But, you know, Sean Payton did say to Colin Cowherd the year he was at Fox, he believes that we should go away from a lottery system, or we should go to a lottery system, because you could be bad on purpose and end up with a player like Caleb Williams. And because the NFL draft is just so structured where the team that finishes dead last, they're automatically. No other sport does that anymore. NBA, they have a lottery system. And even Major League Baseball changed, I think, just 2 or 3 years ago to a lottery system. You used to be able to be locked into the top pick. It's not the way that is anymore. And I think they'd really have to try at it. I think at the very end of the day, the more likely scenario is that Sean Payton finds a way to win 10 games. Then be the number one pick in the draft, just because you'd have to be on board with trying to do that. And
sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you don't have to try if you don't have the weapons around, or you don't have the right quarterback at the position, or the defense starts off how they did last year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then
we don't know. Do I think that Sean Payton's going to lose all his games? No. I think he's still going to win seven or eight games.
Okay.
Do I think that Sean Payton, at this point, when I'm looking at the roster and what he has, do I think he's winning 10 games? I don't think he's winning 10 games.
I think this is what trying looks like. And when I say trying, I mean trying to have the number one pick in this totally fictitious exercise. It's you're trying to win, and you get off to such a bad start, like this past year that you just referenced, and instead of not making any moves at the trade deadline, you just unload your freaking roster. That's the version of trying in the NFL. What's the text line saying here, KJ?
All right, from the RamosLaw.com text line, Patton Fort Collins says, history tells me that one of these top four quarterbacks will be a complete bust, and another one will be some sort of a journeyman. I would not trade away all of that capital for only 50% chance of high-level success.
And 50% might actually be high.
Mm.
That might be high probability, truly, when you look at the history of it. All right, fun conversation. Totally hijacked the three count, and that's totally okay. The CU spring game, Phil, will look a little bit different year over year, including a household name as a special guest. Also, Shedeur Sanders, he'll be pulling up into Folsom Field driving what now? Hang tight. That's next. The CU spring game will look a little bit different year over year, including a household name as a special guest. And also, Shedeur Sanders will be pulling up to Folsom Field driving what now? We'll get to that in just a second. CU spring game. Last year was shown on ESPN.
Yeah.
It was the only spring game shown on ESPN. Not Alabama, not Ohio State. It was, you know, some of the others got featured on ESPN2, ESPNU. Do you believe that that is a reflection of the attention lacking year over year from CU, or do you not put much stock into that at all?
No, you have to put a little stock into it, Zach. It's sitting right in front of us. There's a reason why they're not being featured on ESPN. And it could be because Coach Prime only won 4 games.
Right.
All right, you can only do so much, right? Only so much talking and show. Like, of course, everybody wants to see Lil Wayne perform.
Yeah.
Hopefully when I get there, Lil Wayne's performing with Rick Ross.
That'd be fantastic.
Maybe Drake. Who knows?
Drake ain't coming to Folsom. Lil Wayne.
I can still dream. Well, you never know because Lil Wayne's good friends with Drake.
Yeah, true. Young Money, right? Is he still under that label?
I don't think so.
It's probably expired by
Drake?
Now.
Yeah, he's probably done.
Those first couple albums, I think, were under that label.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Drake got his own as OVO.
Right. We knew that. No, truly, we did. OVO. No,
for sure,
yeah.
For sure. But I just think people they want to see the product out there. They want to see the wins.
Yeah.
And they didn't win last year.
I think it's Ohio State who has the ESPN spring game.
Which makes sense.
This year. It does. Lil Wayne coming. That's kind of cool.
Hey, I always like the line. A stain. What did he say when it was like?
Confidence is like a stain you can't wipe off.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I love that line.
Yeah, Lil Wayne's had a great career.
Yeah.
A great career.
Yeah.
There was a point in time in like 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Like he had such an incredible run. And really
His rhymes are just like you have to think like 5 times before you get them.
Yeah. Well, he's just a super smart individual.
He really is.
And you hear him do interviews. He is a brilliant dude. He looks like 25 years older than he should, but I think that's what happens when you do hard drugs for 20 consecutive years.
Yeah, for real. My man's getting thrown out of games too. Oh, he was in L.A. They wouldn't let him go to his seat.
Yeah, there was some dust up with him in I saw that about a month ago or whatever it was with the security at Staples. But that'll be cool. That'll be cool for CU, right? Lil Wayne performing for the crowd. Do you think they sell out the spring game?
Yeah. There's nothing else to do, right? There's nothing else to do that day. The students are bored. Why not? All right. I know I want to be there.
Okay.
I know I want to be there.
You're going to be up there?
Lil Wayne. That's the plan. The plan
really?
Is for me to be up there.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Let me know if you want to go.
I will think about that.
We'll have to get some tickets. They're probably not going to let me go for free anymore.
Yeah, you got to pay like anybody else. But maybe the student, students can get it for $5. All right, we'll see what that looks like. How about Shador Sanders, man?
Shador.
Dude, Shador. Shador Sanders showing off his new Tesla Cybertruck in a video saying it's the first quote-unquote cyber beast model delivered to the state of Colorado. The Cyber Beast is the most expensive version of this new Tesla model of the Cybertruck. And the base price is $100,000.
Mm. The Shador Sanders.
The Shador. Don't step on the buffalo. Don't do that. I heard Mike say that Shador's Cybertruck is around $140,000.
I've seen it. Have you seen it?
I have. It looks like a spaceship.
Well, what is he getting ready for? It's like it's all armored up. You know, like are we getting ready for an apocalypse?
Yeah.
You know, are we getting ready for someone to shoot at us? Because I might need to get one.
I think Tesla says it's good. It's good on any planet, they said.
Oh,
it's kind of like that spaceship vibe.
I'm not going to the spaceship with that car.
Think about live in Boulder. You're not like a student. You just like live in Boulder. And like Shador Sanders is just like cruising around Boulder,
like this.
yeah, with the Shador out the window, the showing the Rolex.
The Shador Sanders.
What do you? I guess it's just another chapter of what do you make of the modern times of top NIL money?
Oh, for
you know?
Sure. I think of it more as like this. All right, I've been in Boulder for the 5 years I were there. I was there. Zach, everything is so close.
Right.
Literally, you can walk to the stores. So what are you going to be doing driving around in this car? Like, it's going to take you longer to drive the car than it is just to walk across campus.
Right.
And the campus police, or whatever they call, I want a bone to pick with them because every time I go up there, they're trying to give me a ticket.
Yeah.
All the time. I don't know where they're hiding, whether they're coming out of the sky or in bushes, but they find a way to get you.
Apparently, that's like famous up there.
Man,
the campus.
I've
police.
Never seen them. Never seen them.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna catch them one day.
Well, he got the Maybach booted last year.
He's gonna get that one booted. All the tires.
I just hit a button. It starts floating though.
or just like. Makes some kind of force field around the tire so you can't even mess with them.
You got, if you haven't seen what this looks like, just Google Tesla Cybertruck, and it's out there, man.
Would you drive it?
No.
No?
No, I mean, if someone gave it to me, I'm sure I would. It's just not me. That is a
I can see you, Zach, cigar in your mouth, driving.
I actually smoked a cigar this past weekend. Yeah, on Saturday afternoon. It was so nice. The kids were napping. I'm like, let daddy smoke the cigar outside. I was watching the CU game on my laptop.
Oh, look at you, man. Look at you. You was probably lightweight, huh? Were you a little loopy?
No. I don't inhale them. I leave that for knuckleheads like you. Did you see the video of Shador? He was, this is like a week old maybe. Did you guys see this when he was on like the tarmac and had like the private plane? And he's on the tarmac. All right. This is where I kind of roll my eyes. I'm just going to tell you. He's on the tarmac. There's the private plane that's getting ready to take off.
Yeah.
He's got like this $2,000 Louis luggage thing at his feet. He's got a shirt on where it's just a huge, I'm not making this up, I swear to God. It's just a huge money logo on the shirt.
All right.
And a huge money logo on the pants. And he's getting onto the plane, but he's throwing the football on the tarmac. And the caption was like, "The grind never stops."
Oh, he put a rust.
That feels rusty to me. That feels rusty to me, Shador.
I guess
the grind never stops. He's not like, he's just literally like tossing a football casually back and forth. Yeah, like the grind never stops. Deflated.
I got more fire than ever.
Oh, we know, Russ.
I believe in you. Let's go get it.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of season left.
Not in the Denver Broncos jersey.
Hey, if you win, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
But they need a win.
They need a win.
They won four games. So
yeah.
They win, he will be probably the first quarterback off the board.
He may be. And if they win, a sequel to Elevate and Dominate, 21 Ways to Win It On and Off the Field is coming. A sequel is coming to that book from Dion if they win. So we shall see what we're in store for. Get another clue on what the operation will look like later this month at the spring game. You know what happens in the springtime in America? We start playing baseball. And the question that I ask after one series, is it already over for us here in the Centennial State? That's coming up next.